Greetings, my friends. I'm Doc Coleman, and I'm back with another episode in the Balticon 46 wrap-up from Swimming Cat Studios. We'll be continuing with Sunday afternoon's panels. Today's panel, WordPress 101, was recorded on May 27th at 3 p.m. WordPress 101 is all about getting started and getting the most out of using WordPress to manage your online content, whether at WordPress.com or hosting your own instance of WordPress.org on your own site. Moderating the discussion is Terry Flinstress Vernon. On the panel is Chute Schubert, Gary L. Lester, and myself. WordPress is a very powerful tool for podcasters, bloggers, and many other kinds of content creators. Listen as we try to highlight some of the tips and tricks of using WordPress to best effect.
Contrary to a half-hour outfit, it's not a steampunk panel. Nope. But, you know, just have to do what we got to do. I am Terry. I go by Flinstress. And I'm the host with my husband of a show called GeekRadioDaily.com. Yeah. Ding. And we have a...
Oh, you want dings?
We have a WordPress site with some forums. I'm also an educator. I work with middle school students blogging using WordPress, and I also skate for the River City Roller Girls and maintain our blog / website. So I don't know that I'd call myself necessarily an expert here, but I've used it in a lot of different ways. You want to introduce yourself?
My name is Doc Coleman, and I have got something like 4 different brands on the internet, and I don't know why. You can find my stuff at www.doccoleman.com. I have the Nifty Tech blog, which is a tech blog. I have the Shrinking Man Project, which is a podcast about weight loss and life change. I have Swimming Cat Studios, which is another blog where I talk about writing, voice work, other kind of multimedia projects, and anything else that comes into my brain to talk about. And I'm running all of these off of a single WordPress site.
Wow.
So, thanks to Chooch.
I'm Chooch Schubert.
Yes.
Hey, I'm Chooch Schubert. I'm a musician playing the band Ditch by Kate. I've been doing web design since the web existed, IT management all my life. And I've got, half a dozen sites or something that are all linked into a single WordPress.
That's the other thing. I am... Shut up.
It's reminding you to be here.
I am a professional web engineer in my real mm-hmm. life, but that's boring. You don't want to...
Yeah. That's me.
My name is Gary Lester. I'm one of the Channel 37 guys, and yes, we use WordPress for all our blogging needs.
So my first question, we've kind of talked a little bit about your background, and out of all of the possible ways to get your message across on the internet, why WordPress blogging? What is it that it offers that made you go, okay, this is the best medium for me to have my web presence?
Well, I know for me, I started off that I was just looking for an easy method for content management. I had been with personal blogging systems like LiveJournal in the past, and there's definitely something nice about being able to do sort of a fire and forget type thing where you type up your content, you put it up, you release it, and something else behind the scenes manages it all, that you don't have to worry about moving pages around. If you're doing a redesign, you don't have to reconstruct every single page. You don't have to do a lot of work just putting new things up. And I started off the Nifty Tech blog using Apple's .Mac software, and very quickly ran up into the limitations of that. You know, it made some beautiful pages, but I didn't have a lot of control over the size of the available page space. I didn't have a lot of control over the comment system, and I think I started on February 2010, and by April I was looking at moving to something else because it was just too cumbersome to deal with. I then moved to Blogger, which is another free available blogging platform. And while that gave me a lot of additional freedom in terms of plugins and the ability to change the design of my site, it also still restricted me. There were a lot more things I was seeing other people doing on the web that I couldn't do. And it was very much set up that you had to do things the blogger way. So then I finally looked into WordPress, and you've got WordPress.com where you can set up a site and they host it for free, but you're kind of limited in the plugins that you get, although they have some very nice plugins. Or you can go WordPress.org where you pay for your own hosting at some internet provider, and you have then full control of your site. You can put anything you want in it, and you can throw any plugins you want. You can write your own plugins if you want. You can throw somebody's plugin and then go into the code and edit it. And that gave me the greatest control, and I've been, once I got the site up and running, I was very happy with it. So that's pretty much basically going for freedom and control in a balance there.
I think there's an important distinction that there is WordPress.com, which gives you free blogs, and they host it. You don't have to worry about the servers. It's all free. The gotcha is you're restricted on what plugins you can install. You can't just go out and grab any old plugin. You can't edit the plugin. So there's a lot of built-in limitations, which they have to do because they're offering a free service, and people can really take advantage of it and screw up each other's sites, that sort of thing. So it's very controlled. I started doing manual web design and updating pages. And when the blogging wave first really started happening, it became apparent quickly it's just not manageable. You can't sustain redoing it. And with the advent of RSS, which like Slashdot really popularized, I started looking at content management systems. And back then there was Movable Type, I think, was the most popular. There was Zen Framework. And Drupal had just started hitting the scene. And for me, WordPress just had the perfect balance of being... It hit the tipping point where all the hosting companies, that's the one that they offered. Mm-hmm. And all the communities, there were so many people that if you ever had a question on how to do something, just do a Google search and there's going to be 10 different answers on step-by-step exactly how to do it. So it was that support and the breadth of plugins that really got me into doing it.
Kind of like Doc, I kind of started out with blogger.com, and it was a great site. You put it up there, hit thing, and it was great. But it would not really grow with you. I mean, if you had to do extra things, you were kind of locked into their format. I mean, you could pick the template, but it's basically their format. With WordPress, our page has undergone several different changes, and WordPress accommodated them all. We wanted to have it so, hey, we want to have our latest story, because what we do is we publish serial science fiction and put a story every week. So we have a corner up here now playing, and that'll list the story of the week in descending ascending order based on, you know, date. And it was it's great that we can change that around, and it works really well with us. And of course, we can load graphics and video, and it's awesome.
I came into blogging pretty new, so I didn't have a lot of experience with what came before. WordPress had kind of been established as this is the one that you do. But when I was looking for just sort of web page, I just wanted to basically have a web page, and I didn't have necessarily content that I knew was going to be released on a regular basis. I'm not one of those creative types. I just like to share what other creative people are doing. And I did really like the combination of if you did know how to do things, you could really customize it and make it your own. But if you didn't, you could just sort of put it in and let it run and do its thing, and it would still look gorgeous. It would still look web 2.0. It wouldn't look like just some basic second grader's HTML page. And I say that because second graders are creating web pages. The kids in our school district are blogging. They've got their own individual blogs. They're doing RSS feeds and all those types of things. So I did end up really liking it. And it has pushed me. I know you guys talked about how web design is part of your day job. Certainly wasn't part of mine. But I've been able to learn some basic HTML code and realize how to go in and find how to change the image size just by going into the code. And so I feel like it's helped me. It's scaffolded my learning as a web designer to kind of learn how to do those types of things. It made me feel more empowered to be able to go out and interact with what I see on the web and change it to customize it for what I want to do. So next question, limitations. You know, is there anything that you wish it could do that it's not currently doing now, or any time that you've ever felt like it just didn't meet your needs?
The biggest limitation I keep running into is that there's still the aspect of WordPress is set up to lay out content on a particular page size. Not so much length, but particular page width. Now there are some templates that overcome that. Mm-hmm. The particular template that I'm using, which is the thesis template, which is a pro template, currently has that limitation in the 2.0 version, which they are currently in work. They claim that they are going to overcome that so you can actually have much more width of your page, and that they will be able to dynamic when you resize the browser window, that they will be able to dynamically redistribute the items so you're still making a maximal use of the page. And I think they're supposed to have pre-released a plugin with some of that functionality, but if they've already released it, then I haven't had a chance to work it up yet. But that's the biggest limitation for me is we've now all got these big widescreen monitors, and I'm so tired of seeing, you know, I've got a monitor that will display two or three pages, but all I get is this little slice in the middle, and that's where all my content is, and I've got all this blank space, and it drives my design sensibilities right up a wall. I'd say that's the biggest frustration I've had with it. The second biggest is, of course, that vast wealth of plugins that if you can come up with something you want to do, there's hundreds of plugins for it. And trying to find the one that does it the way that you want it to be done and has a good reputation and is currently being supported so you don't download a new plugin and break your entire site, that would be second.
I think there's very few restrictions since the breadth of plugins is so huge. There's, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of plugins out there. What you run into is having them work together. So you want to expand, you know, you want a forum, you want an e-commerce shopping site. A lot of them, you install the plugins, but your users need a different name and password for each thing. So it really breaks that coherency of your site. And if you do it right, there's ways to make it pass the tokens and have it all be seamless, but
that's why I haven't implemented those.
Yeah, it's definitely not a beginner thing, and you definitely need to start getting into the code, and that can be intimidating. Or a lot of people, you're writing full time, you got a full time job, whatever, you're just never gonna have the time to figure it out. So that's the biggest limitation I see, is integration with several advanced services.
What we do, I don't think we've run across any limitations that have really bugged us. Every now and then there's a little glitch that we look up on the Google and find out, you know, oh yeah, that's how we do it. And we kind of look for that plugin and stick it in. But and unfortunately, I'm posting my blogs on a little netbook, so I don't have that width restriction, because it's like, now I just bought a flat screen. I haven't hooked it up yet, so that's probably going to bug me now. You told me about it.
Something I wanted to mention.
The good
is
news is the answer is soon coming.
So. Yeah. Okay. Yes, that there's a lot of template sites that you can go through. Searching WordPress template just comes up with all these different sites. And some of them are a bit nefarious, and it's hard to tell. Some people are hiding stuff that's going to cache your passwords and do nasty things. Mm. I've got a list of my favorite plugins in general.
That's the question. Go for it, Chooch.
And well, one of them is called Exploit Scanner, and one is called TAC, the Authenticity Checker. And they will actually scan through your template and see if there's stuff hiding. Mm. The number one way they know is these coders actually take a piece of code and they encrypt it. Mm. So you can't see what the code's doing. There's just this block. And sometimes that could be a binary image that they want to embed, but a lot of times it's rogue JavaScript that's going to do something nasty. The cool thing is, use this exploit scanner, you see that there's a nasty block, you can click, edit template, delete that block, go back and see if a graphic disappeared or if everything looks fine, you probably just got rid of something nasty.
So you don't have to know about the code necessarily to use one of those plugins.
And it'll tell you, it has flags, and it'll say encrypted string, which is suspicious, and it's up to you to decide whether it's not. But what I was going to say is a lot of the template sites now, you can go by category, and one of the categories is usually variables theme, and the variable themes will automatically resize.
Some, after looking at a lot of templates before finally deciding on thesis, what I found is a lot of those variable themes aren't very variable. Let me digress just a little bit on themes, and then another good tip for doing WordPress. But there's thousands of themes, like there's thousands of plugins. Some themes are, they'll show you a clip of it, and that's exactly what you get. That's exactly what your site will look like. There's no flexibility in it. It's just, I put together these cool images. I think you should make your website look like this.
That can be frustrating because you think it's editable.
Yes.
And you get into it and it's
And there's
not.
Others which are, you know, this is an example of what you can do with this theme, but it's got all these options and all these editing things, and it really depends on what you want. If you want something that's a cool look, I'm going to take that as my look, I'm going to put it up, I won't have to worry about messing with it, then those static themes are good. But most people want to put a theme up, want to make it your own. So you kind of have to look for the themes that have the extra options. And I guess a good way to do that is when you're looking at themes, don't just look at the example, but if there's multiple screenshots, look to see if they have screenshots of option screens, which are behind the scenes, so you can play with things yourself. The other point I wanted to make was that when you're setting up a WordPress site, you never set up one site. You set up two sites. One is going to be your live site. The other one is your test bed. So that whenever you're thinking about a new theme or a new plugin or a new whatever, you put it on that site first. So if it's full of malicious code or if it's got a plugin conflict that brings your site down, your live site's still good. And you can even take that if you're doing WordPress multi-site, you can even do that one step further. So if you're doing a redesign, you don't do a live redesign on your site. You kick off another instance inside the multi-site and do copy your site and throw it up there and then do the redesign there. You always have to be aware of the changes that you make to WordPress that are affecting what the users see on the end, because it can take a lot of time to work out changes. And you don't want users on your site seeing things move around as they're trying to use the site.
The things that are broken or things that they can't get to, right?
I just started using WordPress. I was with .org. And what I've done is I've restricted myself to plugins that they show you on the .org site. Do those ones, are they better tested than if you just go to the general internet or...
I never use plugins that are not listed on WordPress.org. I don't believe they're vetted like the Apple Store vets code, but there's so many people looking at them that if something nasty's happening, enough people are going to flag it right away.
Yeah. I look very carefully at the ratings when I'm looking for new plugins. Yeah,
exactly.
It's like if it doesn't have at least a 4 rating, I'm probably not even going to bother to download it.
The ratings and reviews are really crucial because, you know, people more savvy than us will flag it almost immediately, say this is crap or whatever. But yes, absolutely.
Ratings. And the downside with going with the highest rated themes is that's the one everybody else is using, so you risk looking like
everybody else.
Favorite themes?
I really can't name any. The last. Over the last 5 years, I've built all my own themes. So I'll usually find something that's close to what I want and then clone a lot of it.
I hate to tell you, I don't know the name. I just, we picked up the thing. Oh, that looks good, and we clicked it. Whatever the name of it is, it was what it is. I have no clue what it is. Mm-hmm. But I was on total visual.
So I use the Thesis theme, which is a premium theme, costs, I think it's like $185 when I bought it. But the advantage of, I find that the advantage of Thesis is it does have a lot of options to let you customize your site. You can do all kinds of very fun things with changing the layout and the colors. It makes it really easy to do things with multiple sidebars if you want to. And it's got a lot of support, and it's got a pretty good reputation, and they even have a newsletter where they will send out every week suggestions for how you can improve getting hits and getting buy-through on your site.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, so that's a little bit disturbing for me because I don't have the time to go through all the suggestions, but it's like it's nice to know I've got this backlog of email there.
Should you randomly get some extra time?
Well, if I have a particular problem that I need an answer now, first I can search to see have they thrown the answer up there.
I also like that there's a theme called 2012. I think they've done a couple of different ones.
That's the default built-in. Mm-hmm. Is
that's the one that I have.
Yeah, it's every year they update it, mm-hmm. and it's whatever
the year is. I like the call-out text feature, like the quote, that you mm-hmm. can put it in. Mm-hmm. There's a couple other things that you can do with that one as well.
Yeah. When choosing the theme, I think the most important thing, and a lot of these sites, when you go to categorize or do tags, by industry. So if you're a photographer, there's already things that already has a light box built in to really present your photographs well, gallery style. There's ones for writers that are already there where it has pages set aside for your bibliography and that sort of thing. There's podcasting themes. And the layouts are just already optimized for how that audience, how their eye moves across a page. And there's kind of conventions that have come out that people are just expecting when they go to that type of site. That's the best place to start.
Now, besides the ones that you create, any favorite blogs out there, any ones that you go to on a regular basis that are using WordPress or not? Stumped you all.
I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to tell.
Uh-huh.
Because there are so many different content management systems out there, it's not always obvious what somebody's using.
They're using a backend.
Yeah, occasionally I'll just random visit blogs and say, oh, the WordPress 101 on the, or WordPress on the bottom of the page. I go, oh, yeah, I know how they did this.
Question in the audience, thank you.
What are some of the pitfalls that you did encounter porting in a project from some other site system into WordPress? As in, locking somewhere else from WordPress?
Well, the good thing is WordPress does have an import feature. And so they will take your Blogger posts, they will take your WordPress.com posts, they'll take your Drupal posts or whatever, other, and it does a pretty good job. The biggest problem I think I've seen in imports are assets not coming across, the images don't come across.
Yeah, when I moved the Nifty Tech blog from Blogger over to WordPress, I didn't find out until later, but a lot of the images that I had posted with some of my old reviews didn't come across, and I didn't find out about it until I had gone and started cleaning up my old Picasa library and getting rid of stuff, and now I've got images which are pretty much gone forever.
Mm.
So
I find that with a lot of sites, if you start to learn a little bit of HTML or something, you're going to want to go in to do quick and dirty fixes. So you've got like a line spacer, and it never quite fits out right. So you put in some code, some hidden spaces and sort of like a spacer mm-hmm. GIF or something like that, and when it comes over, or even if you're on WordPress and you want to change templates, mm-hmm. now everything's scattered because you did that custom code. So it's always best to use the tools they provide instead of trying to do quick and dirty fast things. Fix it right the first time or else it'll bite you in the butt later on.
I guess another aspect of it is when I moved Nifty Tech blog from Blogger over to WordPress, I was very happy with the look and feel I'd managed to build on Blogger. So I wanted to replicate that. And that turned out to be days and days of tweaking and fine-tuning so that when I went and redirected the URL, my users would pretty much not... Basically, the only way they would notice would be the fact that my ad suddenly disappeared. Because at the time, I also decided to start going ad-free. But it was just a whole lot of work finding the right template and then tweaking it to get that same look and feel. So if you're moving from one platform to another, do a site redesign.
Well, now you mentioned advertisements, and you know, not everybody is out to share their content to make money, but sometimes, you know, are you finding that there's a revenue model in blogging? Yeah. And talk, I guess, about that a little bit. Like, what do you think the best for somebody who's thinking of starting something? How should they go about that?
We are in actually thinking about getting advertisers, so I'm going to listen to you guys on that one.
There are a lot of plugins. The absolute easiest, Google AdWords.
Yeah.
I mean, people are used to seeing Google AdWords everywhere. There's already plenty of plugins that'll put sidebar, it'll put top banner ads. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of controls on rotation. If you want to do your own and sell your own ads, which is a whole other full-time job, there are rotation plugins and stuff, and they'll track clicks, you know, engagement and all that sort of thing. So it's really easy. It's actually pretty open. I mean, you can go sign up for a Google ad. I think Google even has, okay, click here for widgets, and there's a WordPress widget. You just click that, copy the code, paste it in a box, and now you have ads live. It's literally that easy.
Now, I was using Google AdWords, and I think I was also doing some Amazon affiliate ads on the Nifty Tech blog before, when I had it on Blogger. And to be quite frank, I made nothing, absolutely nothing off of it. I mean, I might have had some click-throughs, but I never hit that threshold where they actually pay out. So when I moved over to WordPress, I didn't bother with it because I figured it was pretty much a waste of space. But now that I put a lot more content into my site and my site has grown up a bit, now I'm getting the experience that I'm having companies send me email wanting to know my rates so that they can purchase ad space or purchase links from my site to theirs. And that's something I've been thinking about quite a lot because for me, the Nifty Tech blog, I do tech reviews. So I'm very wary about the appearance that I'm selling good reviews, part of which is because I only want to review things that are what I consider the very cream of the crop of the tech that's out there. I either do the very top 1% or the very bottom 1%. It's like either go buy this or public service, avoid this at all costs.
And it'd be hard if you, even slightly affiliated with any brand.
It's kind of like Consumer Reports
review.
Doesn't take any ads because it's all maintaining that reputation and partiality.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to admit, I'm starting to get some things that coming in. It's like, I'm looking at it saying, that will cover some of my hosting fees for a while. And so I'm really struggling with the idea, especially after hearing some other bloggers and other panels talk about, you know, they get tons of money. They have a huge cash flow for doing ads and for doing paid reviews of products. And, you know, they'll take the money and they'll take the product. They won't necessarily guarantee that it will be a good review, but they'll tell people this is a sponsored review.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm still trying to figure out where my ethical ground is in there. But yeah, that can be a real, once you start getting that kind of volume and start getting those offers, that can be really tempting.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm sure that there are scams involved in that too, mm-hmm. where people will want you to post their ad and then they'll have you link to a URL, then they'll do a bait and switch on the URL and redirect it to something else you don't want to be associated with.
So do your homework.
Yeah, definitely do your homework. If I actually do an ad for something, then I'm going to make sure that I get the graphics and the links, and I host the graphics on my site because I don't want to throw JavaScript in to do graphics on somebody else's site where they can change the ad on a whim. It's my site and it's my reputation, so I want to have the control of my hand.
Sure. Now, you mentioned one of the reasons that you're getting approached is because you've got high traffic mm-hmm. to your site. For those who are maybe newer to WordPress or just in general, let's talk about being able to track who's coming to your site, what kinds mm-hmm. of things you use to manage your flow of information and to make sure that you're keeping track of who's coming to the site so that you can have those kinds mm-hmm. of numbers to make a presentation if you need to. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
There's a plugin that comes with it. It's not built
instead
in.
Of there's an app for everything. There should yes, be there's a plugin.
There's
for
a
everything.
Plugin for that. Yeah.
There's a stats plugin that's made by Automattic, which is the company that writes WordPress, and they're actually sunsetting it. They have what they call Jetpack, and Jetpack yeah. is a collection of services,
yes.
including stats that are built in.
Yeah, Jetpack is basically a best of WordPress.com plugins that. They're now putting out for WordPress.org users. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm very happy since I started this.
So can you see the frequency, like the individual users who are coming to the site? Can you see their frequency? What other kinds of data can you see about your users?
You get what web browser they're using, what country they're in.
How they were referred to your site.
Right. Yeah. Okay. What search terms, if they found you on a search engine, exactly what terms they had typed in to get to you.
That's useful.
Yeah, it's your daily episode of how'd they find this from that?
Yeah.
for our podcast, we're also able to see how many people are downloading the episodes, mm-hmm. the MP3s right from the site, or how many are listening from there. And so that helps us to kind of know where to spend our
efforts. You'll see if you have certain posts that are really getting a lot of traffic, if you're getting certain attachments, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. sometimes can find that somebody has hijacked in one of your images and they've put it in their site, and it's pulling it
from
the
your
image
server.
Using your bandwidth from your server. And then, so that'll help you track them down.
Which is when you have fun and you change the image.
Yes. But I have found, I've had two or three times now where I've had a post that I thought was just something cool. There's this one, some guy.
You're a cool dude, Chich.
Some guy created these anime drawings of the Snoopy, the Peanuts characters as anime.
Oh, sweet.
And it was brilliant. Yeah. And they were all like adults
Snoopy
now.
The Ninja.
Yeah, Charlie Brown was a badass. And, So I post this. Hey, this is cool. And I'm suddenly getting all these comments telling me I should draw more of them. And I'm like, no, I clearly put the original site. And to this day, like 3 years later, it's the number one visited post I have. Mm-hmm. I have thousands of people a day from all over the country. Because most of the comments are in Japanese and I can't understand it. But I actually grabbed a Google AdWords widget and put it just for that post. And every time they come to see it, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
There you go. That's an awesome idea.
That's an interesting thought. I still have my AdWords account.
Another one was I had created a video database so we could have all of our VHSs and DVDs, and we can just scroll through it and see, what do you want to watch tonight? I don't know. Let's see, what are we into? And it did really cool stuff like going by genre and that sort of thing. And you could create accounts for your friends, and they can check out your DVDs. And now you know who has them, so you don't forget to get it back. Well,
you have to remember to...
Microsoft's search engine, for some reason, had crawled my site and hooked onto it as a movie database. And people who are looking for these sci-fi and fantasy movies, they're getting directed to my site. And so all of a sudden I had this huge spike, 10,000-20,000 people a day coming to look up movies that I have on my shelf.
I understand.
So I put an ad banner. and I did an Amazon affiliate link.
Yeah, you just start putting reviews for each of the movies.
There you go.
Question from the audience.
Yeah, I haven't.
I'm trying to remember the name of the one that we use for roller derby, and I'll have to look it up.
That's one area I haven't.
Most of them charge you like a monthly fee, which is ridiculous. You know, like $50-$60 a month, and it just meets you somewhere in an alley and pay for it there.
There's several decent shopping system where you get zinged with the money is when it comes into accepting payment.
Right.
that's always, you have to interface with banks, and they want their cut, and MasterCard wants
PayPal
their cut.
PayPal is, you know, the way to go for that. If you
PayPal is
way.
Probably one of the best, but they can be very,
their
very...
Their fees are pretty high.
Yeah, their high fees are high, but they, sometimes they get very finicky, and they won't take it. It's hard to upload some different price things, we found.
What is the program, or whatever it is that you recommended for the banner when you're using something else, and now we're keeping ourselves in the app?
Oh, Square for doing mobile payments.
Yeah,
right.
Square, that's just Square, what we're doing now. Brilliant. We're finally getting around to that.
Square is great if you happen to have a smartphone or an iPad or some kind of intelligent internet connected device. They send you a little dongle. You can download free software.
Got it with me. They send you this little thing.
It's a Square.
Yeah.
And you can use it to scan credit cards. If you're using something like an iPad or a tablet, you can actually set up a whole custom register application using their free software and keep track of your inventory and other things.
There's two types of credit card transactions. You have your swipe transaction, your key transaction. Square has this great deal because the credit card companies love swipe transactions. There's no accidental entering the wrong. Anything you're going to do on a blog, people are going to be typing it in.
You can look at the name, you can look at an ID, you have the human interaction.
You do pay a higher fee because the credit card companies, there's a certain percentage of people typing the
wrong
numbers.
But there's not a monthly fee.
No.
With Square. It's just a per-transaction fee.
Square, it's per-transaction.
Right.
But you had asked about e-commerce on your actual blog site, and then you'd have to do something like that. I'm trying to think of the one that I liked.
ZenCard was pretty good.
That might have been it.
What was that?
ZenCard.
ZenCard.
It's free.
Really?
See, I haven't done a lot of that kind of transaction.
But you have to track down your own payment system.
Yeah, it's completely just for a card, not for a payment.
Mm-hmm.
Another question?
Yeah, I've had a WordPress.com site for a year or two now, and I'm thinking about switching over to .org. And I'm wondering, like, how much is that going to cost me? If I wanted the site to look nice and wanted to be up there.
It's really just finding the right hosting company.
Mm-hmm.
Every hosting company now in their control panel has WordPress built in. You just click a button, it installs it, type the name of the site, and then you can do your import from your old one. So it's really just whatever you can find. The hosting company, I use an advanced hosting. I pay a whopping $8 a month.
Wow.
For unlimited bandwidth, unlimited drive space. I use multi-hosting, so I've got 5 or 6 WordPress blogs, I've got an FTP site, I've got 4 podcasts. So, and it's all $8 a month.
Yeah.
Geek Radio Daily, we're using Dreamweaver stuff, but I don't particularly recommend it.
Dreamhost?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Dreamhost is very popular.
But I do not recommend it. We've had that's kind of leading into a question that I have coming up next about security. We've had some security issues this year, and so that's part of the reason why I'm not a fan of them.
Dreamhost has amazing customer service, but I hear they have a lot of downtime.
I think I'm using the same host that you're using. I am hosted.com, which is not to be confused with iamhost.com, which is the premier ISP for the porn industry.
Unless that's what you're into, then you go right ahead.
The ED is very important if you don't want to be associated with porn. But they have...
Isn't there a pill for ED?
I've heard that, but I've never needed it.
Okay.
So,
different panel.
Panel. But I believe they have like a single site rate for as low as like $4 a month.
$4 a month, yeah.
The power thing gives you unlimited bandwidth, unlimited space, unlimited sites for like $8 a month, which is, it's probably overkill for what I need, but I've heard other people's horror stories about, somebody slash dotted my site and the traffic went through the roof, and then I hit the bandwidth limit on the 3rd of the month and my site was down the rest of the month because of it. And it's like, well, I would love to be slash dotted or boing boinged or other things which now sound increasingly dirty when I say them like that. I want my site to be ready for it if it ever happens.
Sure.
We've had an issue with spam bots. this year. And so we had to increase to the point where we're having to approve everybody who wants to be able to post in our forums and comment on our blog.
And that has been
a huge issue because, you know, spammers are getting smarter and smarter all the time. They look legitimate. They put geeky stuff in their name and try to trick us, you know. So it's been harder to kind of manage on that end. But when they were getting through and we didn't have that authentication that we had to do approving a person, because we tried a lot of different levels of authentication. It came to the point where the only way we were able to control it was to actually approve every individual we wanted to have on our page.
Well, the single most effective thing I've seen is there's an option to say put a post to moderation if it has more than two links. And that gets 99% of spam.
Well, there's an option. There's an option.
Forum as well.
It's a forum post. You have it so that the first post has to be approved.
Yes.
Right.
After you approve a post from that person,
you don't have to moderate them anymore.
You don't have to moderate them afterwards, and it catches a ton of spam.
Yeah, that's I've got that option enabled on my site. Do you also WordPress comes with a plugin called Askimet?
Yes.
Or
Kismet.
Depending on how you want to pronounce it, it's still spelled the same. But that helps block out a lot of spam. Now, my issue was I was getting a ton of comment spam, and I not only wanted to stop the spam from showing up, I wanted to be able to report these people to somewhere. I wanted not just block the spam, but hunt it down and kill it.
Thank you for that.
Yes. I can't remember the exact name of the plugin, but it's something on the order of a first defense against spam, and that's that's connected to sites like Stop Forum Spam, where they keep track of not only links and email addresses, but IP addresses that spammers are using, and they have a huge block list, and that's kind of neat because. When the comments come up and they get filtered in your spam folder, you go down and you look at them and it's you have approve, not spam, delete, report and delete options. So you can kind of go through, and there have been some that it's like, okay, this is either a lousy poster or a really clever spammer. I don't know if this is real or not, so I'm just going to simply delete it because it's not exactly a good question, but that's a great tool. If this is something with show notes, we'll get it in the show notes. That's what it is.
Extra work.
That's what we use on our site.
Okay.
To delete most of the spam. We do. We don't have the first comment. You know, moderate, but pretty much the spam to it. Mm-hmm. However you pronounce it.
Moderating first comments is kind of neat because it also gives you an idea of who your repeat posters are.
True.
Because, you know, their posts just come up and you say, oh, new post, damn, where'd that happen?
So we've talked a little bit about plugins, you know, security plugins and other kinds of plugins. Other favorite plugins that you'd want to highlight that the people would want to know about?
We have that plugin with the, I don't know the initials, SEO plugin. We have that.
Search engine optimization.
Right. We just installed that. So that's a really cool thing. And we're seeing that work for us in something. When people, we have this one blog that this one post that just won't go away. We get hits on it for like 10 months. And it's our number one post, you know, other than home. And it's just amazing. And Paul, just the other guy, just posted another one. And we're kind of betting on who's going to beat who because it's just, you know, with that, just they just need a keyword and bang, it comes up on search engines and people hit it quite a bit. So that's a really cool one.
Try to improve your Google juice and get floated to the top. One that's in the background, utilitarian, that's not very sexy, is called WordPress Database Backup.
Okay.
Every night, it automatically does a backup of the entire content of your site and emails it to you. And if you have a Gmail account, storage is free. And even on a fairly, you know, busy site, your whole database backup is only going to be a couple megabytes each day. And so at any time, if your hosting company goes belly up because they all have their wonderful backup systems. You can go to the control panel and you can roll things backwards. But if they go out of business or if they get, you know, shut down for somebody else doing file sharing or something, your content's gone.
I don't know. I think that is a pretty sexy plugin.
That's WordPress database backup?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a set and forget. You know, you set it up once, and then I just created a filter in my Gmail that just shuffles them into a folder. Then I don't have to. I never see them. Every now and then I think about it and I check and make sure they're still coming in. But other than that, don't worry about it. The downside is it is only the database contents, so it's not going to be bringing across your image files. So you're still going to want to every now and then, like FTP. I do go like once a month, and I just do a full FTP copy of my whole site that gets all the assets, mm-hmm. all the videos and images and stuff.
We keep our images in a Dropbox folder.
Great. Yeah, that's good. Another one, if you have a site where you're going to have a lot of people contributing. So maybe you have something like specficmedia.com.
It's a good one.
Multiple people doing posts on movie trailers and novels and that sort of thing. Nice. There's one called Role Scoper, R-O-L-E, Scoper. And it's specifically designed to really have a granular control over all those accounts. So exactly who's allowed to moderate what areas, who's allowed to upload images, who's allowed to do, you know, forum moderation and all that stuff. So the tools that are built into WordPress are decent, but it's either, you know, you either write articles or you edit or you're the god.
Review.
And sometimes you want to change who's got that kind of
right.
role.
So this gives you really granular control on exactly who can do what, and but it's still easy to use. It's still graphical. Role Scoper, scoping the roles. That's a good one.
We already mentioned Jetpack.
Yeah.
Would you spell that?
It's R-O-L-E S-C-O-P-E-R.
So Jetpack.
So we already mentioned Jetpack. Let's see. One of my other favorites is I believe it's called Next Gen.
Photo Gallery?
Yes, Next Gen Photo Gallery, which lets you do some really cool slideshow type presentations. Mm-hmm. I use that on DocColeman.com for my backgrounds because I want to do something different with that site to give it more of a pro look. So, because I was. I'm in so many different, widely separate realms. I took a bunch of space pictures from NASA and created a big album from that. And I've used NextGen to set that as my background. Shut up. Hey, we got 15 minutes. We better wrap up. set that up as my background. And so if you're on the site for more than 5 minutes, it changes the background on you. And it's a very cool effect when you're looking at it. But every time you load it, it'll load a different picture and just keep moving through.
Mm-hmm. The one I made for Roller Derby was a WordPress.com site. We didn't need a whole lot of plugins for that. And it was a registration for an event, so I used the C forms. And I did a combination of the C forms from WordPress and also some Google Forms and just embedded them in the page just to sort of see the different data I was able to get back from it. And so I liked that as far as a plugin as well.
That's cool. There's one we like called Contact Form 7, which if you want to do feedback forms, that kind of thing, very customizable, having fields, having required fields, mm-hmm. and it essentially just emails you whatever the result.
That kind of data is invaluable. What
Jetpack
people think.
Just added a contact form, so you might want to check that out first.
Yeah, I haven't seen how
plugins are great, but the fewer plugins you have on your site, the better off you are. If you find that one plugin is taking over things that another plugin used to do, get the outdated plugin off your site.
Well. I think anybody who runs a WordPress site, if you're doing WordPress.org, the number one rule is update, update, update. You've got the core website, you've got your plugins, and you've got your themes. and they all need to be updated. Sometimes there's daily updates, you know, but at least weekly you want to get in there and update all of them, because that's the number one way sites get hacked, is somebody found a loophole somewhere and now they're doing these massive exploits where they just hit a button and it just searches every WordPress site and sees if they're vulnerable.
One thing they do, though, they send you a little, or they put on their little thing, update now available for such and such. So they do remind you to do updates.
Yeah, every time you go to your, your dashboard,
there's
a little number how many updates you have.
Well, I have one last question, and then I want to, you know, we'll wrap up with questions from the audience. The future of WordPress, where do you see it going from here? Or is that, what do you think? If you were in charge, if you were, you know, the president, what's next for WordPress?
I'm going to guess they're going to start moving more on mobile. They've got a really good app that's on iPhone and on Android and lets you manage your site. So I'm thinking they're going to do more mobile optimizations, maybe built-in mobile templates.
Well, there are some mobile themes that you can get.
Yeah.
Right,
WordPress
now,
Mobile Edition is my favorite plugin that takes all your content and wraps it into a really fast and easy navigating web app. Not app, but web version of your site. So I would imagine they're going to get more into mobile.
Okay.
I'm kind of with you on that, and that's the only thing I could think they could expand, because everything they do is so well. But the mobile interface, when if they get that down pat better, it would be awesome.
Never really thought about it before. I can say that the one thing that I wish that did come with WordPress was a local client. So I'd much rather be able to do my design work on a local machine and be able to get, you know, everything set up the way I wanted it, and then push a button and sync things up to the server. And part of that may be because that's what I started with using, using iWeb on .Mac in order to do things. It meant if I did a redesign, I could take a lot of time with it and it wouldn't see anything until I actually hit that publish button.
I can't think of what it's called. Adobe has something for that that'll let you do it in WordPress.
Really?
Microsoft actually has. Search for WordPress on Microsoft. There is a way to install on the Microsoft site. WordPress install. It's crazy, but that's where it is.
Yeah, I run local WordPress instances at home, and then I just export my database and then just suck it in. You have to use something like phpMyAdmin, which most hosting solutions, they'll have phpMyAdmin, and that lets you click, do an import, and all your changes are there.
I want a smoother solution.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. There's a lot of manual.
Okay, questions?
Artisteer, anybody who's used that, or what is your favorite tool for creating and or editing themes?
I have not heard of that.
Artisteer.
Well, you do your own themes, right?
Creator. Unfortunately, it will not import. It only will export to WordPress theme. And I usually end up saying, okay, I'm going to create a theme, but after it's up, I have to modify it. So I'm back to HTML in the editor. What are you using for creating it?
I just use a text document editor and write it by hand. So I'm not helping.
I use Thesis, which has a lot of very useful tools on the built-in, but they also recognize that sometimes you want to go beyond the tools they've already built. So they have a lot of hooks in it, and they have a built-in editor that lets you go into your custom document and throw additional PHP code up there that it automatically ingests and executes as it does your theme. So I have not played a lot with modifying
when
my
you do that.
There's also a plugin called Thesis Hook that gives you better.
When you do that, you're not disabling your ability to upgrade that theme?
Nope. It's all it's part of the design that you can do your own adjustments at a code level.
So the next upgrade doesn't wipe out your changes?
Nope. It won't wipe out your changes. It might break them, but it won't wipe them out.
Other questions?
Yeah, you've answered part of this question already. I don't have a smartphone yet, but an awful lot of people do. So Cal does WordPress do right now with allowing people to access your content on
For just the public, just looking at your site,
exactly.
That's where I said the WordPress Mobile Edition is a plugin that automatically reformats the website.
If you don't particularly have a mobile theme installed, most phones will render your WordPress in your site as they would any other site you hit with the mobile browser, so they'd see the same site. You would, you know, so you probably end up having to enlarge it a lot in order to read the text, but it's all there.
There is a word.
The CSS thing or anything like that.
It's all, you don't have to do anything special.
Yeah, with the plugins.
There is a WordPress app for
absolutely. And the word, but the WordPress app is for,
that's for
the person who owns the site. So it's doing posts, moderating comments.
Yeah, I just want to do it on my Mac and able to.
Yeah, what those plugins do is they essentially have multiple CSS, and they just by the header, they know it's a mobile browser, so they give it the mobile CSS instead of the regular CSS.
And usually you can go back and forth between the mobile version and the regular version if you really want to see the
There's a link at the bottom, so if there's something they know they should be able to get to that they're not seeing, they can click desktop view.
So it's pretty
cool. I just wanted to ask real quick if you would tell people how they can find the information.
What
kind of granularity can they expect, and where can they find this information?
Yeah,
Chooch. Pretty much most panels I'm on, my website is chooch.us, C-H-O-O-C-H.us. And I usually, you know, I'm recording it, so I'll usually repost the actual audio, listen to everybody's nuggets, and try to get them in as notes.
Thank you.
Where have you been all my life? Sorry, Ben. Sorry. Peach?
Any podcast-specific plugins? Bob Press or Blueberry?
I use PowerPress from Blueberry. I looked at PodPress and I didn't... PowerPress is built off of PodPress and is... it adds some additional functions, and I really like the extra things that it added. And while a lot of people say PodPress is really solid, I didn't like the fact that it hasn't been updated in a while. Just my choice.
Well, we're pretty much out of time, guys.
Yep.
Thank you very much. And chooch.us for more info. Don't hit us with the going out ding. Nice.
Ding. Ding. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
a lot of information there.
I'm Gary.
I'm Chooch.
Oh, isn't that imposing? Is it going to blow up halfway through?
No, it's just redundant recording.
Double redundant recording.
Multiple redundant recording.
There is a hookup if you did want to show anything, and Pamela was in here earlier showing stuff. So it's up to you if you want to. I didn't plan that for
I didn't
advance.
Prepare anything.
Okay, so that's good. All right, should we go ahead and get started? You got to report. Get all set up. I'm rushing you.
Make sure there's no radioactivity in the room.
Are we clear? Are we good?
No, I'm showing
it looks like a tricorder.
Moderate life size.
M-class room.
There we go.